son was graduating from medical school this summer, and he decided to linger in the United States for a few months to share with churches and to work on some other projects that he's doing. And so we're glad to have him with us here today. Dr. Foley is a researcher, a scholar, is an educational leader. He's a pastor, and he's a missionary. If you could be all those things at once, he is. His work has furthered education, leadership, and missiological research throughout Africa. He actually just published a book that our mission committee had supported the printing of that is called Transforming Missiology. And the book is in the back here. It's more for mission scholars and professors from the African context, but it's in English. Dr. Lubinda also serves as pastor of an evangelical church called the Missionary Transformation Church, Missionary Restoration Church in the Kinshasa, the largest 12 million population city in the Congo. He was the dean of the International Leadership University in Burundi. We've heard of Burundi before. And for about 6 years, I believe, and now he's back in the Congo developing an international leadership university in Kinshasa. That's a Christ-based missional university and also church-based, as it's integrated with the church there that he pastors. So Foley goes back quite a few years in our church. He came in 2002, as you might recall. He came with three, the Congo, first of all, the Evangelical Covenant Church as a denomination had a great deal of investment in Democratic Republic of Congo for many years. One of our missionaries is Paul Smith, Paul and Helen Smith. They're actually back in the Congo now, finishing up their last term. But when Paul was a young missionary, he was discipling several Congolese young men, and Foley was one of them. Many years ago. He went through some discipleship material that Paul Smith was sharing with them, and caught a vision for pastoring, went to seminary, and then subsequently went on to several other degrees in both the United States and in South Africa. So God has used him to really sensitize the African churches to the importance of their participation in world mission. Not as recipients of mission, but as senders and goers into the global mission for the unreached people groups of the world. So we're privileged to have Foley with us, and we look forward to his sharing with us. Wanted to let you know that there's a table in the back there with some more information about the International Leadership University that's being established, as well as a copy of his book and a sign-up sheet. So I know many of you have signed up to pray for him. But if you're interested in receiving some updates on his ministry there, just go ahead and sign up in the small table in the back of Narthex there. And also, if you're interested more after you've heard Pastor Foley and spending a little more time with him, we're having lunch at our house, so you're welcome to come along and spend a little more time with Foley. If you can turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 15. I'm going to read from the scriptures that sets the message here. Chapter 15, starting at verse 15. This is Jesus speaking, because it's in red letters in my Bible here. That's how you can tell, by the way. I no longer call you servants. He's speaking to his disciples. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Welcome, Pastor Foley.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I want to teach you one word in Lingala. Mbote. Mbote means good morning. Mbote. This is when you go to Congo, we have 240 different languages. But Lingala is the most spoken language. So once you get to Congo and you say Mbote, everyone will be feeling okay. So I praise God this morning for several reasons. The very first reason is for your faith. In 2002, I came to this church for the first time. I remember the altar was somewhere there. I was preaching from there and having one person translating from English, French to English. So now I don't need anyone coming alongside, and I praise God for your faith, because this is actually the fruit of you, what you guys you have done in the lives of many people, including myself. I would like to greet you from my wife and the family, and also to say thank you for the fruit of your faith. Dan just mentioned that I published a book, and I could not print it down, and your church provided means for me to get few copies. And during the launch of that book, many people came and were blessed. And thank you very much. May God reward you. Brothers and sisters, the year 2019 for me is a special year for two reasons. The first reason is that in 1979, I gave my life to Jesus. And from that time to today, it has been 40 years of being in Christ. And then, after having been discipled by missionary Tim Smith and other missionaries, the church, Congo Evangelical Church, sent me to the seminary for being trained as a pastor. And I completed my undergraduate studies in 1989, and I became pastor since then. So from 1989 to today, 30 years of being in the ministry. 40 years of being Christian, 30 years of being pastor. And for any normal person, when you reach that level, if you are a wise person, you will sit down and try to think. Because who knows? How long am I going to live again? I know that in your country, life expectancy is about 80 years. But in Congo, it's 58 years. So in November, I will turn 56. Theoretically, I will remain with you 2 years before I go to be with my Lord. So, what should I live as I go to be with my Lord? So that reflection led me to the Bible and to the passage that we just read. Jesus said, I'm no longer calling you my servant, but you are my friend. Everything I received from my Father, I have given to you. So you are not the one who chose me. I chose you and sent you so that you may go and bear fruit. But not only any kind of a fruit, fruit which will last. I don't know if fruit that you see on the screen, how long they will last. But I'm not talking about this fruit. So, this morning, I would like us to reflect a bit on legacy. I know legacy is not a Lingala word, it's your word. You know the definition of legacy. I'm not here to teach you what is legacy. But I think through some examples, we may understand more aspects which is behind the word legacy. In general, as you know, legacy is what you leave after you have gone. What you leave behind. It can be amount of money, it can be material things, and so on. These are legacies. One day, when we were missionaries in Burundi, that was in 2015, due to the war in Burundi, Campus Crusade helped us to move from Burundi to Uganda as refugees. And we went there for a couple of weeks. One day I was turning around and I heard someone calling, "Dr. Foley, Dr. Foley." And I turned, I say, "Here in Uganda, who knows me?" And a man coming, I say, "Sir, you may not remember me, but remember, I'm a missionary in Uganda from Congo. It was in 2007 when you led a seminar on missions. I made a decision to serve the Lord. Now I'm a missionary in Uganda. Is that a legacy?" I think that is a legacy. So think that you leave to people, and even if you are not there, they will remember you. Legacy. And Jesus received everything from his Father, and he said, "Everything I received, I'm now addressing to you. I'm passing it to you. But remember, go bear the fruit which will remain." So as you can see, God's vision in our life is an internal vision. A vision which lasts. As you can see in this book, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, God has set in our heart the thought of eternity. As you know, God created us for eternity. If it was not a sin, I could live eternal. We could live eternally. And God's vision is for the eternity. God's vision is not a short-term vision. It's eternal vision. It's not even a long-term vision. Because you know, when we do project, we have a short-term vision, a mid-term vision, and long-term vision. But God is, over those terms, eternal vision. When you read Luke chapter 1, verse 20, and Acts chapter 10, you find that though God's vision is eternal, but he uses feeble people, weak people, for his vision. Cornelius was someone who was praying, giving tithe, all this, but he missed eternal life. And God sent an angel saying, "Yeah, everything you did, everything you are doing, yeah, I applaud it, I accept it. But you still need one thing. send your people to see Peter, and he will come to tell you. God could just directly tell Cornelius what he needs to do, but God always uses people to achieve his internal vision. And as God was looking how to save humankind due to the sin, and he was looking for someone who could be a channel through which his son would come, and he chose a little girl, Mary. God has an internal vision, but he looks for weak people like you and me that he can use to magnify his glory. Hallelujah. What is a privilege? To be a tool in the hand of mighty Lord. It is a privilege. So leaving a legacy and a lasting one is God's strategy to keep his glory among people. This is his vision. Yeah, we will come and we will pass, but God will remain and his glory will remain. And he said, I will not give my glory to anyone. God is jealous with his glory, eternal glory. I have seen many people with money, power, and so on, but they are passing. God is eternal, and his vision is eternal. But to maintain this glory and this eternal vision, he's choosing people. He's choosing people. So I think I may not have all this time to go through the biblical foundation. Maybe you may take note, and as you go back home, you may have time to ponder on these things. As we go through the Bible, we see that what I'm just said, God's vision is eternal, and he wants people to be part of this vision, and so on. You find, for instance, you have Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 7, and he's saying, what the commandment that I gave you, please write it down and pass them to your children, so that my glory will move from one generation to another generation. Pass them to your children. You can see in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 35, this is a prophecy about Jerusalem. And through prophet Isaiah, God says, I will protect and save the city because of David. Due to the commitment, the relationship which existed between God and David, even though David will not be alive, the city of David will be protected, because God wants to keep the legacy going on. That is why nowadays you see people leaving their countries to go to Jerusalem. I remember a few years ago, I had a friend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I went, I saw this man. When we started our ministry, his organization used to send some support to us ministry. But back around 2009, his ministry was shut, was closed, and he could no longer have at least same thing to support himself. And when I went there, he said, "Oh, Doctor, Pastor Paul, pray for me. My wife and I, we have just come from Jerusalem because we can't understand what is going on. We are not having means to survive, and we went there to pray God." You see, many people are leaving their countries to go to Jerusalem due to the legacy that David passed on. John chapter 15, what we just read here, said, "You should go and bear fruit." And Jesus added, "The fruit should last." There is one thing to go without bearing fruit. There is another thing to go bearing fruit. But there is another thing to go bearing fruit that lasts. Many people in their Christian life, they are not bearing fruit. Some people are bearing fruit, but which does not last. But God's intention for us is to go and bear fruit, which will last. And we have this parable of the talent. God expects us to produce, to multiply. This is God's expectation to us. And when you read Psalm 78, verse 3 and 4, actually, you know, Psalm was where kind of songs when Jews went to Jerusalem. They were singing. And one of the songs was saying, "What we have heard from our father, we will not hide, but we will pass to the next generation." And they were singing, "What we received from God, we will not keep it for ourselves, we will not hide, but we will tell the next generation. We will tell the next generation everything God has done in our life." They were singing. Because in Jewish context, song is actually a confession, is actually the declaration of commitment. It's like in South Africa, during the apartheid, black people, to have strength, they were just singing. And we know from the Bible, as we worship our God, God manifests himself. I remember Paul and Silas in the prison. They were helpless. But as they raised voice to worship, to praise, miracles happened. And you know what happened, including the salvation of the director of the prison. So in Jewish song, they will say, "What we have received from God, we will not hide, we will not keep for ourselves, but we will pass on to the next generation to keep the legacy." So as I was thinking through the Bible and thinking of my 40 years of being Christian, 30 years of being a pastor, and I said, "So Lord, which kind of legacy I'm going to leave?" And there is this Chinese proverb: if you plan for few months, grow rice, because very soon you will get and you will eat it, it will pass. But if you plan for several years, even a century, you plant trees, woodstock, you have a good story of trees here. For a long time, you may find them. But if you plan for eternity, what should you do? You invest in people. Because generation after generation, your legacy will remain. And that was my conclusion. And that is my prayer. Lord, help me to invest in people. People, not only for spiritual things, but people as holistic created human being. Because when God sees me and sees you, we are body, soul, and spirit. God sees us as holistic people. That is why the Bible says when he was preaching, turning around villages and cities, he was preaching, teaching, and healing. God cares about the whole human being. And my commitment is that if I need to leave a legacy which will last, I need to invest in people. So this is also my encouragement to you. I know for a long time you have been in Christ, you have been serving, you have been singing, you have been serving here in many capacities, but sometimes you may sit down and see, is my legacy going to last? And you will see in the bulletin, there are two questions there. I think, remember to ask those questions. Because sometimes people will say, Foley, you have these studies, degrees, and what? So you are famous. I'm not famous by having degrees. I will be famous by leaving a lasting legacy. A lasting legacy. So this was the reflection from the Bible that I wanted to share with you. So if you can allow me a few minutes, I will show you the application of this. You know, to leave a legacy is not just a song that you can sing, not just some few words that you can pronounce. It's a long process, which requires many things. If we want to leave a lasting legacy, make sure that we have a clear vision. We know exactly what is our purpose. Why did God send us in this world? I remember when I was in the Congo Covenant Church, I was in the leadership team. I was the director of the office of the president of the church. And they were preparing me to take over the responsibility. And I told the president and the board, say, I feel like my call is not to become a president. My call is to become a mobilizer of presidents, to lead the churches in order to serve in God's mission. And that is why in 2003, they prayed for me and they say, go with a blessing. And since then, I have peace. Though I don't have a monthly salary, but I have a peace when I meet with people like this and just challenging them, I have joy. And you can feel that I'm joyful this morning because my responsibility actually is just to tell you what God told me to share with you. It's up to you to accept or to reject. But I would have done my responsibility. So due to the clear vision, you start the process of leaving a legacy. So ask this question. What is your life purpose? Number two, from my experience, is the motivation. Without passion, without motivation, you may take a decision today and tomorrow you forget and you change. Motivation. If you check the story of my life, you will see that without motivation, I could not be with you this morning. Number three, what I see is also the risk taking, to take risk. You take risk not for your glory. You take risk for God's glory. Without risk, you can't afford. You know, even being a missionary to go overseas, this is a big risk. When I come here, I see your houses. I say, wow. You people, you leave these houses and you go where we are. And I was joking with Moria yesterday, say, for your this big house, you in Congo, you may accommodate like 100 people. But when you leave it, this is taking risk. But you are not taking risk for your sake. You are taking risk for the sake of our Lord. But it's not vain when you take this kind of risk. Number four is endurance. Endurance. As you go, you endure to be patient. Number five, privation, sacrifice. Number six, humility. And number five, accountability, transparency. And those are things that I have learned through my lifetime. So let me now just share with you some story and I will conclude. We started this mission-minded church in 2006. And we planted churches up countries, about 83. And in Kinshasa, the capital city, we did not have any place to serve. And God provided that we could buy a plot of land and where we moved from renting to our own plot of land. And you can see that was on Sunday. I say, God, we have good news. We leave this renting. We go to our own plot of land. And we went. And the people were just, because we were singing. It's like in Psalm, when God helped us, it was like a dream. And we were singing, people watching. So this is the compound that we got in 2008. So we started the first shelter for to see and pray and study the Bible. This was the first shelter and the construction, that is our first church in Kinshasa. Not beautiful like this, but and through discipleship, Bible studies, and that was the service. Not only civil, we could also have soldiers and so on. And one of our, as you can see, one of my life purpose is training people. And this was a leadership training program. Those people coming from different churches. This was the graduation ceremony. And women ministry. Also, when we came here with, I think I came with myself. There is a family here, Capron, Paul Capron. He's a lawyer. They gave us set of uniform, football uniform, and we used them to reach out to young people because where the church is a place of poor people. And we use the football to reach out to those young people. And this is the compound we develop little by little. So that was the church growing. And that time, it was about 200 chairs. Mommy and children in the ministry, because they were looking for where to get better education. And we started a project, a primary school. So starting the first shelter of the primary school. This is the primary school. And you see the class, children coming out of the class. And we also reached out to university students, like what you have. So in 2011, then I received a call to go to Burundi to establish International Leadership University for Campus Crusade for Christ. And that is when I passed the responsibility to a young man to continue with the ministry, and they prayed for my family so that we may go to Burundi. But when we came back, we went in 2011. When we came back in 2017, this was the reality we found. Very sad. No more church, and everything became dirty. No more school. You see, this is what we have found. This was the church where you saw 200 chairs, how it became. No more church. And brothers and sisters, I got crazy. I became crazy. Crazy. Crying. Without know what to do. Very hard. And I remember one day, my high blood pressure got to 19. It was very difficult. And I stood there looking at the church and just crying. And I started to have a dream. And the dream was holistic ministry. So that was my dream, to have these facilities where we could reach out to heart, and hands, but without money. And I sent out a letter to friends. So one family said, Fole, we would like to assist you. Because the plot of land is not big, it's small. We said we will go up. If we can build four floor building, the ground level will be for chapel, and up level will be for the school. But the big work was the ground level. And a couple made from the United States made a decision to give us $100,000. And we started using to develop this plot of land. And as you can see, this was the starting to break this was the school, and we started to repair everything, to work on the new building, as you can see there. So that small building was usually used for the school, and we repaired, and we started meeting there for our Sunday evening program. So this was the rebirth of the ministry, as you can see there, in this small school building, and while continuing with the major one. So as you can see, it was very hard, because sometimes we do this, the rain will come and it will destroy many things, as you can see, even our cement and so on underwater. We lost many things, as we can see, but God was with us. We continued, and this was the dedication ceremony when we completed the ground level. Because that was our first step goal, at least to have a ground level so that we may have a good space for us to praise God, and when we have conferences and so on, we can meet there. So this The man you are seeing there is the vice president of all Protestant churches in Congo, and he's a good friend of mine. He came to support us for the dedication. So this is actually the what we have achieved, the ground level where we are meeting. And you can see the transformation when you compare with what you saw before. And sometimes we say, if God can transform things, how would not He be able to transform us? God is able to transform us. This is inside that ground level. And this was the first service of dedication. And people being just excited to read the Bible, to study the Bible. And we have also a place for baptism because the river is too dirty. And we said we cannot go there for the typhoid. So we built this pool for the baptism, giving communion and blessing kids. We have a strong ministry of Sunday school. Many of those children, their parents are not members of our church, but as parents, so what we are doing, they will bring their children, but themselves, they go back. So little by little, some parents finally join the church through this ministry. So my wife, Mami, and this was before I left to come here, and we have a staff of people. As I'm here, they are taking care of the ministry back home. So I want you to just listen to this. This is a word that I received this morning from our church. Yes. We say thank you. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your support. And as we are now working on establishing the university, we need at least two more levels to have a classroom and a library. And by October next year, we may start the university to reach out to the whole person. So you have more information outside, but this is what we want to leave as a legacy. Please join us to leave this legacy for God's kingdom. May God bless you.
If I could have the former and current mission ministry members come on up, if we can spend a moment praying for Pastor Foley. I think he would appreciate that. I know that Congo has one of the needs is English, teaching English, and that's part of the vision for the university is to do some English as a second language teaching, so that some of these leaders can, Christian leaders can develop international connections, which is so much of an advantage, as well as deepening discipleship in order to form in Christ in them for deep ethics because of the counter corruption and so forth. That's, it's in every country, but so that's another lasting legacy in the hearts of the of those who would be blessed. So if we can have a moment of prayer for...